Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we have a little bit of a different episode for you. You guys might be able to tell. Normally we record in person. Today we're going to do this a little differently because what happened was we got some feedback from one of our listeners. His name's Joe H. He's kind of a newer umpire, second year umpire. Told us he appreciated the show and we certainly appreciate that feedback. But one of the things he asked for was, could we give him an example of what some pregame meetings between umpires might sound like? So we talked about for NAFHS and NCAA what people might do and what the book says to talk about, but he's supposed to know, how, what does that sound like? What is this actually, what is this like as two human beings interacting and not, you know, a cold hard book? So that's what we're going to do today, right, David?
That's exactly what we're going to do, Pete.
Okay, so we'll set the scene. So first we're going to go through an NFHS pregame, which is going to be, it'd be a little shorter, but in this case, we'll assume this is going to be a pregame where we don't know each other. We've not worked together before. David will be the role of an experienced umpire, and I will be the role of a less experienced umpire, which should be easy for us to get into.
That's funny. All right, Pete. Well, here we go. Well, hey, Pete, nice to meet you face to face. I'm looking forward to working with you today.
Yeah, me as well. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Thanks for your response to the email earlier this week. Seems our reminder for game time and location worked since we're both here and we've got the uniform on that we discussed.
Yep, absolutely.
So in our pregame here today, Pete, I want to go over a few things. Let's start with new rules for us this year. I'm going to be working the plate today and you're working the bases. That's what we agreed upon when we spoke last week, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I'll take the role of the plate umpire here. So there's there were six or seven new rules for the year, but only three of them really apply to us here today. One of them is that the electronic information can be transmitted from the dugout to outside the field of play. And essentially that just means that they can run their game changer, they can stream the game, they can have the camera in the dugout, whereas before it had to be, you know, outside the fence. So we won't be calling any infractions there.
I haven't interacted with that any, so I guess if I see anything and I have any questions, maybe I can come to you between innings. I don't want to make a scene during the game or anything if I'm not sure.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. The other one that you might see, and we do see this sometimes with the high school players, the wristband signal system, it has to be on their arms or in their pocket. So, and if it's a pitcher, it has to be on their glove arm. So we'll just check that. You know, if you see people, sometimes they put them on their belt or, you know, or something like that. But so it either has to be in their pocket or actually on their arm. And if it's a pitcher, it has to be on their glove arm.
Okay. I'll look out for that. I don't always pay attention for that, but I am going to look since it's new. And since you brought it up, I will definitely try to keep an eye on that.
That'd be great. And then the last one has to do with pitching also. And so this year, you know, we're allowed to leap now. They're not allowed to replant. And you've got the bases. So since you're on the bases, you've got everything kind of waist down. Mm-hmm. So you have this call for leaping and not replanting. And then I'll take any infractions that involve their hands. So any questions about the leaping and replanting?
I'm pretty good on that, I think.
Okay, perfect. I'd also like to cover foul ball, dead ball coverage. So as the plate umpire, I'll take all the fair foul calls unless you chase. So is that something you like to do? Do you chase fly balls?
No, I'll be honest. In high school ball, I've never chased ever. So I'm not really comfortable doing that or even knowing when I might do that. So is that all right if I
perfect.
Don't?
Okay. That's absolutely perfect. And just for your, so you know, and some partners, they'll feel okay chasing if it's like directly over their head. They're on the line, so nobody on base. And if the fly ball goes directly over their head, they'll turn and run out there and chase it. Here in Central Ohio, we don't do that much in USA ball or high school ball for sure. And it's pretty rare that it happens in a two-person game, even in NCAA ball. So you're not being unique there. You're in the masses, if you will,
for good
chasing. So I've never done it other than in a USA Nationals game. That's the only time I've ever chased with two persons. So, and then as far as dead ball goes, I'll get all the dead ball areas except maybe the ball that gets under that rolled up tarp over there in right field. If you see the ball get under that rolled up tarp, you know, and I haven't called it, go ahead and kill it.
All right. And for myself, I just want to see if we're kind of in agreement on this. I know some people, you know, tell the players, throw their arms up, and then they kill the ball immediately. I don't mind a signal from the player that maybe it's something we want to look into, but I'm not going to kill the ball from the bases until I'm sure that I see the ball has gone out of play. And because I feel like it's always easier to put him back than to have a player maybe do that and really the ball was in front of the fence. So is that all right with you? I don't want one of us to call that ball and the other one to be looking for something or be at odds about where we're putting the runners.
Yeah, for sure. It's perfect. In fact, when you do that, when you see that player throw their arms up, What I'd like you to do is just make really good note, good mental note about where the runners are at the time that they threw their hands up.
Okay, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. And I'll do the same, and then we'll get together and talk about where we should put them.
Good. Is there any deviations that you usually do for yours? Anything about, you know, picking up spots, locations, mechanics?
Deviations from the mechanics, you mean?
Yeah, from the manual. If there's any, you know, just any planned deviations. I've worked with some people who say, you know, I'm not, my knee is messed up and I can't get to a certain place. So be looking more to get this for yourself or not. If I've worked the plate and I've had someone say, on a triple, I'm not going to be able to get that guy to third base or get that gal to third base. You know, I'm going to need the plate to come up and help me there because it's not likely I'll get there. Things like that. So I just want to know if there's anything that you know of in advance that might be an issue.
Yeah, definitely not any planned deviations. I think we should both do our best to adhere to the proper mechanics. However, there could be situations in game time that would force us to deviate. And if we do have to deviate, then, you know, be very, very vocal. So, you know, I've got three, you know, type thing. We want to avoid two of us being at the same base, making the same call or making a call on the same play. We really want to avoid making a different call.
Right, exactly. Play.
But yeah, if we have to deviate, then we should, be very, very vocal about that. But yeah, great question. Great question.
All right.
Also want to kind of review tag ups and appeals. So for tag up situations where there's multiple runners as the plate umpire, I have the lead runner and you have all the others.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, I have every time there's a runner at third, that's the plate.
Okay.
So, and then as far as tag ups and missing bases and things like that, remember that those are all appeal plays. We don't call those when we see them. We wait on somebody to appeal that somebody either left early or missed a base.
Yes.
Yep. We actually had this happen in a game to me this weekend. Nope, wasn't this weekend. It was a little bit earlier this week where the plate umpire did notice that the runner on a caught fly ball from first, there was a runner at first, and the caught fly ball, the runner had already gotten past second base and was on her way to third when everybody's yelling at her, hey, they caught it, go back to first. And so she went directly back to first base. And at the conclusion of the play, the plate umpire called me in and said, hey, she didn't touch second base on her way back. She's out. I made the assumption that the defense had appealed to her and they hadn't.
Oh.
So she, yeah. And so this young lady got called out and nobody had made an appeal. Now, turns out that it was going to be okay because the defense noticed that she did it. And had we not done what we did, they would have appealed. So it's like, oh yeah, but let's not make that mistake. Let's wait on them to actually appeal the play.
Well, I won't do that.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. also on a check swing, if the catcher asks me to ask, I will ask you.
Okay.
I'm not one of those guys that says, no, he's not on the line. He can't see it. You know, I'm not going to do any of that. I will ask you, I'll remove my mask. I'll step out from behind the catcher and I'll point to you and I'll say, did you have a swing? And so I would really love it if you would just, if she did, go ahead and give the hammer and say yes. And if she didn't, give the safe sign and say no.
And I will. And if I'm not on the line or if I don't have a good angle, I'm going to go with, you know, safe every time. I'm just going to agree with your call since you were in a better position. If I'm maybe in C and on a righty and I don't see it, if it's not obvious to me, I didn't, yep. I'm going to say safe.
Yeah. The only time that I've seen it really where that changes is if, I don't know, maybe the blinked. She swung at one that was going to hit the umpire in the eyeball, you know?
Yeah.
And so the umpire didn't even see that she swung. But yeah, for the most part, I agree wholeheartedly.
Okay, good.
And then I think lastly, just during the pregame with the coaches, you know, I'll run it as the plate umpire and ask you if I missed anything at the end. Please make sure I ask them about certifying their equipment. Sometimes I forget to do that.
Yep, will do.
And then ground rules, we'll go over those at the plate as well. But there's that tarp in right field that I mentioned. And remember that they can lean on that to make a play, but they can't climb on it out there. So that's just a little reminder about rolled up tarps in the outfield.
I don't think I knew that. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. They informed me that there's going to be introductions in the national anthem. So as soon as that's over, we'll take our positions and we'll get this thing going.
All right. Sounds fantastic.
Awesome. You got any questions? Anything you want to discuss before we go out?
Nope. I think I'm good.
Fantastic. All right, Pete, we'll have a great game.
Yeah, you as well.
Okay, Pete, so that was a good one for the NFHS or high school, federation pregame with your partner before the game. If this had been an NCAA pregame, they're a little more lengthy. According to the CCA manual, they include some more topics than we cover in high school. from that. Rule interpretations should be brought in, you know, for like some of the new rules in NCAA have to do with the clock, you know, the action clock, and then some interpretations about how to operate that. So we would talk about that for sure. New mechanics being the timing of it. Also a new mechanic in NCAA about the tipped ball, you know, touched ball, to help the umpire determine if a ball was touched or not before it goes fair foul type thing. Unusual situations and mechanics, you know, high pop-ups in the infield foul territory and bracketing the play, that kind of thing. Tiebreaker, we didn't talk about tiebreaker in high school. The run rule differences between those. Halted games, drop dead time. Remember that you can only have a drop dead time in college ball if you had airline flights. You can't, can't do that for bus trips. Talk about the weather conditions today. Fly ball chasing, we covered that. Fair foul coverage, we covered that. Lead off responsibilities, that's a good one too, because now U3 in NCAA has the lead off at first base. So they can see the timing of the first base player leaving better than anybody else on the field. So tag up responsibilities, we did that. Between play coverage, common situations like obstruction, the new rule of obstruction, going over that. Hit by a pitch and hit by a batted ball and how we're going to kill that. Pertinent history with crew members and teams. You know, so the last time I worked with Pete, you know, I found out I had him tell me at the end of the game that I didn't do a good enough job getting to third. So, you know, I've been working on that. Or better yet, the difference about the teams that have gotten together before, and you know, maybe there's some rivalry going on or something like that. When do we go for hell? When do we give warnings? Huddles, when and how we conduct those huddles. Nonverbal communication. It's different in NCAA. You know, we're indicating that there's a runner in scoring position with two outs, so we might have a timing play. We're indicating some additional things that way. And then confrontations and the role of non-involved umpires. So, you know, if I get into it with somebody, you know, I need you to come down and help them get away from me.
Yeah.
Or help me get away from them type thing. And then if we have any objections and how we get off the field. So just more detailed stuff in NCAA. But I feel that, pregames and NCAA stuff, they're pretty tight.
Awesome. Yep, absolutely. That sounds like a good summation. And I hope this was helpful to kind of role play this. Next episode, we're actually going to do, that wasn't asked for, but it seems like a logical extension. We're going to do a little sample post game of pretending, you know, David and I just worked a game and how you might talk to a partner about some things you saw or some things you want to talk about.
Fantastic. Thanks for listening, everyone.
All right. Thanks. Till next time.